trust in His love. I will trust the Lord, oh my soul.
All right, you guys can get your Bibles out to John 5. We're moving through the book of John, and we're going to go verses 15 to 47. So again, John 5, 15 to 47. So for time's sake here, I'm actually not going to read this entire passage. This is like 30 some odd verses, and it's a lot, and it's thick. So we're going to, I'm just going to hit a few of the highlights here. Very rare, we don't usually do this, but because we love just to soak in God's word. But for time's sake here, I'm going to jump to the key things. What we want to look at this morning out of this passage is how Jesus sets an example for us. As in any passage, especially in the Gospels, you're looking at the life of Jesus, the person, the teaching, the words, the actions. There's so many layers. There's so much depth and richness that you could spend and oftentimes should spend multiple weeks on a specific passage. But what I want to focus on out of this incredible passage this morning is how Jesus is modeling for us the type of connection and intimacy that we are made for with God as our Heavenly Father. So what I do want to make clear is I believe when Jesus is saying the things that he's saying, which we're going to look at in a minute, he is not saying them as the eternal Son of God that we cannot be and will never be, and so therefore just read this as things about him and not us. Because there are certain things that as Jesus, being the eternal Word of God, who was from the beginning and was with God and is God, there are certain things that we cannot do. That he is on a completely different plane than us. We were not from the beginning, we were not with God, and we are not God. And we are not in the world to be the Savior of the world through a perfect life, death, and resurrection. So there are certain things that as the Son of God, they're untouchable. They're not for us. And there are some times when Jesus is talking and we have to understand that's what he's doing. But there are other times when he is very specifically modeling for us what it means to walk, as he would say, as the Son of Man in the fullness of what humanity is made for. And that what through he did as the Son of God, life, death, resurrection, gift of the Holy Spirit, now we too get to partake. We too get to walk as he walked. So a lot of his life is a model for us of what God designed humans for. The fullness of humanity is modeled in Jesus Christ. And in this passage, he is modeling for us the type of intimate connection with the Father that we are made for. And so as we look at this passage and a few of the keys from it, what I want us to see and hear from Jesus in his modeling is that there are, in this passage, two very, very important key things to walking in the intimate connection with the Father that we are made for. So we're looking at two things. And the first one, number one, is the surrender or submission. You can choose the word that you like better. Surrender or submission to God's will, not his own. In the passage of chapter 5, verses 15 to 47, three different places Jesus is bringing out this truth. In verse 17, Jesus says, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." And then in 19 and 20, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And then down into verse 30, Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Surrender and submission to the Father's will, not his own. This is an incredible model of how to walk in intimate connection with the Father. Listen to that phrase where Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own. Can we say that about our own life? I can do nothing on my own. What Jesus is modeling for us is that the true abundant life in the Father, with the Father, is found not in trying to live independent of God, but trying to live, but living in and for his will. Not trying to do things on our own strength, but based on what he is doing. So really, he's modeling for us, for whose agenda are you living and in whom's strength? For whose agenda are you living and in whose strength? And Jesus models for us as the Son of Man to live an intimate connection with the Father is to not live for his own agenda and not live in his own strength, to the point where he says, I can do nothing on my own accord. But I only do, the only thing I do is what I see the Father doing. So Jesus is showing us this covenant relationship, this way of life, this intimate connection with the Father. The Father loves the Son, he says, verse 20, the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he is doing. So Jesus models that this life is about this incredible connection where he's living from the place of knowing he is loved. And that's so huge, not living for the Father's love, but living from the Father's love, living from that place of knowing he's loved, and that God is then showing him out of that love relationship, showing him what he's doing, kind of, if you will, the secrets of what God is up to, and then they do it together. It's incredible, the intimate connection from the place of love, seeing what the Father is doing, God showing him, and then they do it together. They walk together. And this is not just for Jesus. Jesus is modeling for us. How do I know? The rest of the book of John, we're going ahead a little bit, but Jesus says the exact same things to us about our relationship with him and the Holy Spirit. In John 15, very, very famous passage, talking about the vine and the branches. And he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But abide in me and you will bear much fruit. It's the same exact thing. Jesus talks about he abides in his Father's love. He's obedient to his Father. He abides in his Father's love. He can do nothing without him. He does nothing on his own will. And then Jesus says all that to us. In the vine and the branches, that beautiful picture. Don't try to live as a little branch on your own. You're just going to wither and die. You're not made for it. You're made to be in intimate connection with God. So he says, apart from me, you can't do anything. And this is hard for us to hear. You know, we are born and bred as individualists who are told to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and just get it done. The rugged individualist is one of our American heroes and icons. And Jesus says, God bless America, but that is so dangerous. as a spiritual value. In fact, apart from me, you can do nothing. You will not make the kingdom advance on your own. You will not have the fruit in your life that you long for on your own. You can't do it. You're not made for it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But in me, you will bear much fruit. You're made to bear fruit. We're made to have an abundance of good fruit coming out of us. But it's about recognizing the dependent connection that we're made for. It's not about my will and doing it on my own, and it's not about my strength and doing it on my own. It's about surrendering both of those things, recognizing our need, and the promise is in that you'll actually have the abundant life that you're longing for. And in that second piece then, about seeing what God's doing, verse 13 of chapter 16, Jesus is now teaching on the Holy Spirit. And he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, so he talks about, this is his big long sermon is at the Last Supper, he's going away, he knows it, and he's in part telling them, but I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit. And this is a new radical idea that the Holy Spirit would dwell inside of us as humans. So he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Now, in our Western mindset, we automatically think that just means, okay, we're gonna get the doctrines right. It includes that. That's good. That's important. But often discounts the next part. For he will not speak on his own authority. This is the Spirit. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. Even the Holy Spirit does not speak on his own authority, but whatever he, the Holy Spirit, hears from the Father, he will speak and he will declare to you things that are to come. In other words, it's an active, ongoing relationship. It's not just a one-time revelation. Now you understand truth about who God is, though that happens and it's important. Jesus is describing an ongoing relationship with you and the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit with the Father, and he's the connection so that you have an ongoing download, if you will, of what is the Father saying? What is the Father doing? So that I can be connected to that, because Jesus wants me to be connected to the Father like he modeled, that I can learn to live in a way that says, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only want to do what I see the Father doing. I'm tired of doing it my own strength and my own will. And he says that the Holy Spirit, whatever he hears, he will speak and declare to you. That's an ongoing, active relationship. I love it. I only do what I see the Father doing. Can I say this about my life? Can you say this about your life? Are you trying to grind this out? Because of course we can't say this. This is certainly not all the time, but I want to grow from none of the time to some of the time. Because when I first came across this teaching in truth, my conviction was, you know, I only do what I see the Father doing. Can I say this? And it's like, no, I don't even know what that looks like to ask, what is the Father doing? I am so used to my own voice and my own agenda and my own strength, I literally don't even know what it feels like to slow down and ask, what is the Father doing? And that, to be perfectly honest, that happened 1 year into being a pastor when I just felt like I was failing at all of my pictures of success. And sometimes failure's good, because sometimes failure God uses to get your attention of what really matters. And I was sitting there whining about how unsuccessful I was being as a pastor, and essentially came across this, and God, in his wonderful, gracious, hello, asked me the question, are you even asking what I'm doing? And my honest answer was, no. No, Lord, I've got plenty of vision already. I've got plenty of strength. I got plenty of gifts. I got plenty of charisma. I'm cool. I'm good. That was what the stupidity of my first year of pastoring was. Not at Elevation, by the way. This was a few years before that. But that was the reality of just the, wow, I literally don't even know in this area of my life. I'm not going to totally beat myself up. I was to be a follower of Christ, you have to have at least heard what the Father's doing one time. The Father's saying, come to me, be healed, be forgiven, be saved. So I at least heard that much. So no, there's a hearing God personally, but specifically in the pastoral ministry, that was not surrendered to his will. That was doing my own. I had a real clear ambition and an agenda, and it wasn't in his strength, it was in mine. And so in this area, it felt like, oh my gosh, I don't even know what it looks like, God, to slow down and say, I can't do anything on my own. I've got to wait and hear and see what is the Father doing. And so it became this like grind it out. I mean, I put it in my calendar. It's still into my calendar. Like literally 9 o'clock in the morning, I've had it there as long as I can remember now, because it was like, I got to learn to grind this out. You know, start in the morning, 8 o'clock, quiet time, 9 o'clock, first question of the day. And it pops up in my calendar still to this day. What is the Father doing? And that was, I don't know, 9 years ago now maybe, where it was just like, it was that wake up call, because it was that reminder of, you don't even have a clue what it feels like to ask this question. And so it was like, I want to learn, Lord. I want to learn to do what Jesus told me I can do, which is through the Holy Spirit, hear what you're doing so I can partner with that. I can join with that. It's not my will. It's not my agenda. It's yours and it's your strength. But to say yes to you, that's where there's power. That's where there's real transformation. That's where there's God's kingdom at work in me and through me. I want to learn what that looks like, Lord. And really, the most important byproduct of all of that is walking in increased intimacy and connection with the Father. It's not even about the end result, which is important. But the biggest thing is just, wow, I'm made to walk in a way where I can hear what the Father's doing and say yes and join him. And this doesn't have to be pastoral ministry. This is life. Because hello, if you're married, you need a little help there. What are you doing, Lord, right now? Because I need to join you. If you got kids, Lord, what are you doing? Or just to walk through life, and as the Bible calls us to, invites us to reign in life. You could ask this question about anything and should, about everything. What is the Father doing today? So look at your schedule. And part of the thing for me at the beginning was, wow, Lord, there's not a lot of room for you in here. That's a good question to pop up, but my day's already full. Thanks for checking in, though. So that was the first thing of like, wow, I set my schedule completely according to my will, my strength, my agenda. So that was the first thing that needed to go. To be willing to start the day and say, what are you up to? How can I rearrange my schedule according to you? And then to have the heart posture to say, and Lord, just to get the sense, what are you doing? And you can seriously ask this about anything. Lord, what are you doing in my life? What are you doing in my marriage? What are you doing with my kids? What are you doing at work? What are you doing in stepping out in this area? What are you doing in this serving over here in ministry? This question will change your life. What is the Father doing? And secondly, nope, we're going to stop. It's just too good. That's its own message. Here, I'm going to flirt with you. You got to come back next Sunday. This second part is key to intimacy of walking with the Father is you cannot seek approval from other people. If you are seeking approval from other people, there is a massive roadblock that disconnects you from God's presence. Jesus said this, how can you even believe in me, verse 44, when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? So there's awesome stuff in there. Jesus just gave you permission to seek approval from the Father. What does that even look like? And the reality of, if you're seeking approval from others, you can't even believe in God. That's why I'm pausing. It's just too good. So we're going to pray. we're going to finish this service 1 minute early today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness, Lord. Actually, we're gonna do that. I wanna take a moment though, and I wanna ask us to pray. I wanna encourage you right now just to take a truly holy moment with the Lord, like you're the only person in the room with God. And between you and the Lord, and seriously, I think he'll speak and respond to a lot of people right now. Ask him the question, how am I doing with seeking the Father's will and slowing down enough to see what the Father is doing? Just something in that realm, something in that kind of nature, that kind of question. Am I living a life that only does what I see the Father doing? That's what Jesus said. He modeled it. He said, we're made for it. To say, I want to make that the declaration of my life. Now, we're all going to be imperfect of that until the day we die. But to make that the goal, to say, I only do what I see the Father doing. I just want to have a minute here where between you and the Lord, you ask that question. How am I doing with that, Lord, where I only do what I see you doing? And remember, in Christ, anytime he reveals the need for change and the need for repentance, it's only because he has something better. He doesn't reveal to condemn. Jesus on the cross took all the condemnation. As it says now in Galatians 5:1, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So, whatever the Lord says, whatever truth he reveals, it's not for condemnation's sake. It's for the sake of good news that he has better. He has an abundant life of you walking in closer intimacy and connection with the Father for you. So if he shows you something to get rid of, it's because it's good news, not so you can go beat yourself up. You can say, thank you, Lord, for showing me. Thank you that I'm forgiven. Help me turn towards you and walk closer with you. To make that declaration, I only do what I see the Father doing. Let's take a quiet minute just between you and the Lord. And Holy Spirit, we just ask for clarity. As you, Jesus promised that you'll hear what the Father's saying and you'll tell us. Thank you, Lord, that you love to speak. That alone is amazing. That you haven't left us as orphans, but you want us to walk in increasing intimacy with you, where we hear your voice and we respond on a daily basis. Thank you, Lord. I pray blessing that we would all, individually and as a family, move in that direction.
Sing a new song. I would dance a new dance.